Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Charlene Summers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you well?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah?
Very well.
Good morning. It's good to be here. That verse or bridge or whatever it was is so high. My voice is like, nah, that's gone now. Sorry. Come back next week. I need to like practice harmonising or something, except for I sound like a cat that's gone wrong. Cool. So we've been looking at champions. Last week Faye was talking about Esther and it was incredible, such a great job. The keys that she brought from Esther's life and her story were just spot on. They were so, so good, really, really timely. And to be honest, I was going to do Esther, so I was a little bit like, excuse you, but it was all right. I was a bit worried because I wanted to do her and I was like, I know Esther's story, I can do this. And God was like, yep, sure you do. So anyways, I was trying to work out who I was going to do, which champion. There's loads of them in the Bible. And my husband, being fun, was like, oh, you should do Enoch. Yeah, Enoch. I'm like, why would I do Enoch? That's stupid. And he was telling me about Enoch, and Enoch is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible. I'm not actually preaching on him. This is just an intro. He's mentioned 3 times in the Bible. In Genesis 5, verse 24, it says, Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Mm-hmm. That's kind of it, really. Anyways, Enoch is really cool because he ends up in the Champions of Faith hallway, if that's what you want to call it, in Hebrews 11. And he was also in the genealogy of Christ, which makes him kind of cool.
Yeah.
However, as much as he's a bit of a dude, I'm not talking about Enoch this morning. I'm talking about someone else. And I kind of find my champion a little bit by accident, sort of a little bit against my will. God was speaking to me and he said, Mary. I'm like, are you kidding? So yeah, Mary. I'm like, no, that's not happening. I will find another champion. So I was scouring my Bible, looking at all these different people, and God's like, will you just go back to Mary and listen to me? I'm like, no, I'm going to carry on. Anyways, eventually I found Mary, and God was speaking to me specifically from the Christmas story, which I found also quite hilarious. So in the middle of July, after what was recorded as the hottest day in July, we're going to do the Christmas story, and you will enjoy it.
Amen.
You have to. Cool stuff. So the main scripture that I'm looking at today is from Luke chapter 1. Well, the majority of the scriptures are from Luke 1. He really gives the best description of Mary, or the most, I guess, content around Mary and her life. And so I'm just going to read from you Luke 1 verse 26 to 38, just so you get the story. It says, now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Yeah, definitely. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, cousin, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Yeah. So there is the story. Yeah. We're going to pick about some bits of that in a minute. Much like Faye last week, I've got 5 keys. Make it nice and simple. There were 4, and then Jesus told me the 5th one this morning. So I was like, fair dues, I missed one. It's number 4, if anyone's wondering. So when we get to that, you'll know that's the one I missed. Right. Number 1, when God calls you, he calls it as he sees it. Okay? Bit of a random one. We'll work through it. I love in the story how Mary doesn't freak out at the fact that the angel appeared to her. She's more concerned with the manner of greeting that he greeted her with. I love that. That made me laugh so much. I was reading through it and I was just like, that's hilarious. She's not freaking out that there's suddenly an angel in front of her. She's freaking out because he said, rejoice, highly favored one. And I kind of took this two ways. I took it in sort of what you might call like the correct way and also the my brain being weird way. So for me, it made me think of when I used to speak to my dad and be like, Dad? And he knew what was coming. He'd be like, no, or what do you want? And it reminded me of that because it's like that manner of greeting. Like, what manner of greeting is this? Like, what do you want, angel? What is God here to ask me to do? I know that's not necessarily right. We're going to go with the spiritual one in a sec, but that's just how I took it when I first read it, and it made me laugh. Another reason for him speaking to her in that way, when he says to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. He's telling her truth before he gives her her destiny call, as it were. He's speaking the truth out to her. That truth was like, it would be a protective blanket around her in the middle of the night when she's freaking out. Because, you know, let's not forget, she's a virgin and suddenly she's going to be pregnant. That's scary. Like, that blows my mind that that can happen. And in those days, it really, really was quite a big deal. And there's, we'll come to that in a bit, but there's some not so great stuff that could have happened because of that. So in the middle of the night when she's freaking out and she's going, God, really? Like, is this happening? That truth that he speaks to her, that she is highly favored among all other women, that will protect her, that will keep her, that will sustain her, okay? And he's speaking out what would seem impossible as well. I love that. How can a virgin that gets pregnant before she's officially married be favored? How does that work? That doesn't make sense. That would be like ill-favored. She would be completely out of favor in her community, in her family, with her betrothed. That would put her outside of favor's box. Mm-hmm. And yet God speaks to her and says, favor, highly favored one. Love it.
Yeah.
I was thinking about how like God speaks to me, and he always speaks to me as truth. He speaks about who I am in him and who he is to me. He doesn't speak to me. He's like, oi, sinner. Oi, dirty one. Oi, backslider. Oi, someone that doesn't even bother to worship me in church. No, God does not speak to me like that. He speaks to me as truth. Regardless of what's going on, regardless of the stuff, he speaks his truth. And I was so excited about that. He calls out the greatness within you. Pastor Shane said that to us so many times before, but it's true. When he speaks to you, he speaks his truth, and he calls out to the greatness that's within you. Yeah, he sees that greatness. He doesn't see the backslidden bit. He doesn't see the sin. He sees the greatness within you because he sees his son within you.
That's good.
And I wrote there, boom. So you take that. You just got to have it. Cool stuff. I was having a look at Greek stuff because I like to look at the Greek words. I call it Greekness in my notes, so you go with that. And highly favored one is the Greek word. It's spelt like charitou, but it's pronounced charitoui or something like that. We'll go with it. It's the word for highly favored and accepted. And it means to pursue with grace, to compass with favor, to make graceful, and to honor with blessings. Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
That word, that particular Greek word, only comes up two times in the Bible, and that was making me really excited. It comes up in Luke chapter 1, verse 8, 28, when the angel is speaking to Mary, and he says, rejoice, highly favored one. And it also comes up in Ephesians 1, verse 4 through 6. In verse 6, I'll just read that out for you. It says, even before he, God, made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out on us who belong to his dear son. I'm so excited reading that. It's like, how awesomely linked are these two scriptures? You know, there are two times this particular word or this particular Greek word comes up in the Bible. And it's talking about Mary being told how highly favored she is, that she's going to birth the Son of God. And it's talking about us being accepted and highly favored in God, in his family, adopted into his family because of Jesus Christ. And I was like, yeah, exciting stuff. just get you prepped there, because that next point's a fun one. Obedience, obedience, obedience. Mary showed immense courage in obeying God's will for her life.
Yep.
In biblical times, Jewish marriages, there were two main stages. There was, excuse the pronunciation if I get it wrong, but you'll work with it, the ketubah, which is basically the contract, and the chuppah. I think that's how I say it. The consummation. So it's two stages. So the contract, so as far as Jewish tradition was concerned and law was concerned, if you were in the ketubah, or the contract stage, you were 100% married, okay? And the next stage, the consummation, the fun bit, this bit could be up to 7 years after that contract was completed. So a lot of times, young girls were married off sort of too young to go down the chuppah bit, so they had to wait, which is fair enough. So Mary and Joseph were in the ketubah stage. They were married, so like 100% married, but not, they hadn't consummated, hence why Mary was still a virgin. And just a little side note there, that's why when it says in Matthew 1 verse 19 that Joseph was a good man, he was a righteous man, but he was thinking about like quietly divorcing Mary. I put in there accidentally when I was writing it, I put like he was looking for a quickie divorce. I was like, that's not what I meant, quiet divorce. I was like reading this morning, I was like, that's not what I want to say. So for Mary, her options were, I suppose, limited in terms of Jewish law. So the first one, sort of like her best case scenario, was that Joseph had planned to divorce her quietly. So she would be a pregnant virgin, now divorced, not many options, probably wasn't going to work super well. Worst case scenario, Joseph was going to tell everyone, or they were going to figure it out because she would start showing that she's pregnant outside of wedding consummation or chuppah, and she'd be stoned. So the options weren't really great, and I just think like obedience in the face of those, you know, options is incredible. It's amazing. Like, that's just blows my mind, and it really makes Mary a champion. They think,
yeah.
Like realistically, that makes Mary a big old champion in my books.
Yeah.
She chose that knowing they were like, I suppose, what could have happened to her.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that God didn't already speak to her about that. Clearly he did. We looked at that scripture. He spoke to her about those things, not to worry, etc., etc. But come on, like, when God speaks to you about something that's life-changing and he speaks to you about your destiny and it's something big, those fears get in. Natural fears, human fears, emotions, human questioning, just getting a bit worried and whatnot, that gets in there. And to still make that decision in the face of that is just awesome. You know, I was thinking about it, so I was like, when was the last time, you know, we had to obey God and it could have ended up in death or stoning? It's not just like a quick death, it's not like a gun to the head, it's like stoning. I can't even imagine. I was trying to like think about it and it just grossed me out. I've seen like films, videos and films before where it shows you that sounds really dodgy, you know, like biblical films, and it shows you that kind of stuff and it's like implied. When anything is ever implied in a film, it really freaks me out. So when it's implied about being stoned, oh, that just freaks me out so bad. Anyways, on a more positive note, stoning aside, Mary's obedience meant that she gave birth and mothered Jesus, the Son of God. I mean, what an honor that is. What a privilege. That's just ridiculous. It's so cool. She birthed Jesus Christ, our Savior, and she is forever remembered as the mother of Christ, highly favored even today. So when God asks you to do something, remember he knows what's coming. For Mary, the main concern right there and then was, I'm a virgin, and you want me to be pregnant. Baby. This makes me think of Bridget Jones. Anyways. So how is that going to work? You know, she was thinking, is Joseph going to divorce me? Am I going to get stoned because everyone's going to work it out? And I love that in that verse where she questions God. You see her humanity? I was reading it sort of, I guess, face value. I think quite often when we read our word, our Bible, we sort of read it, well, I do anyways, maybe not speaking for everyone, myself. When I read the Bible, sometimes I read it a little bit airy-fairy. I forget about the truth of what's being saying, like the reality of those situations. Like when I read a novel, for example, boom, I really get into it. and I will cry with the characters, I'll be happy, I'll be like angry if I finish a chapter and it's like, that didn't go right, how dare it happen like that, and I really get into the story and I get a little bit crazy with it because I just go so far and I really just feel everything they're feeling and I just feel like I'm part of the story, and then when it ends it's just beyond devastating. I'm like, how is that story done? How dare you? I need to know what happens. Anyways, sometimes we need to apply that same whatever thing to when we're reading the Bible. Think about the reality, the humanity that these people are showing.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, it brings a whole different level, a depth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Mary was human.
Yeah.
She had emotion. She got worried. And I think that's really cool. Because when you read that again, thinking about the humanity of Mary, if that's how you'd say it, it just blows your mind all over again. It's not just the Christmas story that we all know well. There's just like this champion of faith.
Yeah.
Who gave everything.
Yeah.
Really, really gave everything. She could have been stoned. To birth our God, our Saviour, and to live out the destiny that God had for her life. Point number three, for those of you that are following and making notes. Mary checked out what God was telling her. And Luke 1 verse 36 says, "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Mary was told that God had done the impossible with her barren cousin Elizabeth. She conceived, she was now 6 months pregnant, and Mary was going to check it out. That's what she did. So in Luke chapter 1 verse 39 through 45, it says, "Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which are told to her from the Lord."
Yes.
So what's happening here is Mary's checking out what God had told her through Gabriel, the angel. And what's more is she got a confirmation of what happened. I love that. I think that's really cool. She got that confirmation. She was going to check out, congratulate her pregnant cousin. I mean, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like, if one of my cousins was barren and couldn't have kids, that would devastate me. And then if suddenly she got pregnant, that would just be like, get in, let's go congratulate you, get some flowers, some chocolates, baby stuff. Yes, so cool. You would definitely do that, you know, like reality here again. Of course you would go and congratulate your cousin. Why wouldn't you? Like, genuinely. God speaks to us about our destiny. Sorry, when God speaks to us about our destiny, He will confirm it through others.
Absolutely.
It always amazes me that God speaks to other people about my destiny, as well as talking to me about it. Quite a while ago, before God spoke to me about doing the youth stuff and leading it, or maybe before I was listening to it, I left the youth stuff. I was like, I need a break. I can't do this anymore. Blah, blah, blah. And I spoke to Pastor Shane about it, and he was like, okay, because he already had heard from God about that, which is really cool. Just like, how doesn't that like blow your mind, God speaking to someone else about your destiny? So cool. And he was like, okay, but you said God. So I'm there like off on wearing little, like, I think it was about a year of just being a butthead and just ignoring the youth stuff completely and just like, no, I can't deal with that, it's too much, woe is me, I'm going to go deal with some stuff, work on myself, you know, that stuff that people say when they have like a gap year. It's kind of like that. That was my spiritual gap year, which is terrible. And when I finally listened to God and I came back, then He spoke to me about the youth work and taking it on. And then I was able to speak to Pastor Jane, and he was like, yep, correctamundo, you're right, because he already knew it. And I think that's really cool. I love that God speaks to other people about our destiny. Often our leaders take note, people. Speaks to your leaders about that. I think that's really cool. So check out what God's asking you to do, because He's probably already spoken to someone else about it.
That's good.
Point number four. rejoicing.
Yay.
Seals the decision or choice to obey. After the encounter sounds a bit funny, with Elizabeth, her cousin, after she'd gone to congratulate her and the baby had leapt and confirmed some stuff and she spoke out the destiny again, confirmed that stuff for Mary. Mary sings a song. No, I'm not going to sing. I'm just going to read it out. My God! Did we not already discuss this like strangled cat thing? Come on. So Luke 1 verse 46 to 55. I know I'm reading out a lot of scripture, but it's the word of God, so it's good. So just go with it. It says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." That's right. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." So Mary starts rejoicing in her God. Immediately after she's got that confirmation, she rejoices in God in the midst of a big fat unknown at that point. You know, when we make the decision to do something for God and we decide to be obedient to his call, you know, how small, no matter how small or how big that may be, how life-changing, if it's one of those like pivotal moments in your life that's going to completely change everything, and you choose to rejoice after you've made that decision, it really seals something in your heart. It's like you signed that contract and now you're going to celebrate it. And I was thinking, to remember this point, think about marriage. You know, you sign the contract or you give your rings and whatnot, and then you rejoice. You celebrate that decision, that life decision. It's awesome. You have a big old party. Celebrates. So worship celebrates what God has done in your life. Mary's worship was celebrating what God had done in her life and what he was about to do. Even before she had given birth to her son, to Jesus Christ, she worshipped and she celebrated what God was going to do. You know, when we're worshipping, we're connecting ourselves to God. We're speaking out his truths in and over our lives. So she was speaking, you know, the truths in that scripture are just incredible. They're amazing. She's speaking out again and again how God lifts up the lowly. Look at what he's done to me. I'm going to be highly favored. This is awesome. And she's speaking out that truth again. She's speaking out her worship to God. She's sealing that stuff in her heart, keeping it in there, speaking out God's words over her life. And that's going to have a profound effect, not only on her, but on her surroundings.
Yeah.
Love that. That was the one I missed. Just so you know. And it's a good one.
Yeah.
So that's why Jesus spoke to me about it. Point number 5. Mary was a bit of a ponderer. I was really liking this. I kind of like just noticed it when I was reading through the story. I kept like reading through it over and over and over again. Because you think you know the Christmas story and then you read it like, you know, properly. Rather than just having the sort of kids do their stuff. Christmas times. What do you call it?
Nativity.
I was like, what is that word? Rather than taking, you know, that spiritual sustenance from the nativity, I went to the Bible. It's a good place. And a couple of times in the Bible, it talks about Mary pondering things and keeping things in her heart. So in Luke 2, verse 19, it says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." That was after the shepherds had come to the birthplace of Jesus and had proclaimed him Christ, the Lord, the Saviour. So she kept those things, she pondered them in her heart. Again, in Luke 2, verse 41 to 52, it says, "His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." This is when Jesus is a little bit older. It just says that in the next line. "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And when Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now so it was, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. And I was like, that's ridiculous. You know, again, reading with reality here. Could you imagine? I don't even have kids yet, but I'd be like freaking out. Like, 3 days? That's insane. Genuinely. But like, here, if that happened with a child, the police would be everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Genuinely, that would just happen. They would be freaking out. And I love how it's just like, you know, do you not know that we sought you anxiously? But then I was thinking about, you know, the reality of that. She would have been screaming that at him. You know, like when you see in films and they find people that they've been missing, they're like, "Oh my goodness, I'm so happy you're here." Hugs, tears, laughter, yay. Then, what were you thinking? I kind of think of it as like that.
Yeah.
It's just like, "Son, why have you done this to us?" Like, "Oh, not slept for 3 days, not anything, exhausted, we didn't know where you were, And it just makes me laugh. And then the next bit, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, so he did come back, and was subject to them. But his mother, Mary, kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men. So a bit of Greekness again. It says, when Mary kept the sayings in her heart, is the Greek word synterio. It's a fun word. Which means to preserve a thing from perishing or becoming lost, or to keep within oneself, within your mind, lest it be forgotten. I kind of like that. I thought it was pretty cool. So she's pondering these things in her heart. She's preserving that from perishing, keeping it fresh in her mind so that it is not forgotten. Mary pondered these things also, which is the Greek word symbalo, which means to bring together in one mind, in one's mind, and to confer within yourself. Which admittedly makes me think that you're going a little bit crazy, because you're like, I'm going to confer with myself, or within myself. But what it means is basically just keeping it fresh in your mind, not forgetting these things, keeping it locked up, keeping it ready, keeping it fresh. When God is doing something big in your life and speaking to you about your destiny in advance, you better keep and ponder it in your heart and your mind. And why? Two reasons. Number one, it keeps it fresh. The truth that God is speaking to you will remain freshly at the forefront of your mind, not forgotten, until such a time as God has done it in your life. You want to keep it at the forefront of your mind. You don't want to forget those things that God is speaking to you. And number two, when other stuff happens, when things happen that maybe counteract that or cause you to question or get confused, you've got something that holds you. You've got something that protects that truth, the truth of God's word. It's going to protect you. It's going to keep you going when the going gets tough.
Yeah.
Boom.
That's good.
I don't even like that song. That's a terrible song. Right. So what we need to do, church, is when God's speaking to us about our destiny, write it down.
Yeah.
Write those things down, because it may not be for now. It could be for a few weeks, a few months, maybe even years from now. But if you've got it written down, you can keep it fresh in your mind and keep it at the forefront of your mind. When things happen that maybe don't kind of coincide with that, or things happen that cause you to question that, then you've got that written down, that word of God that he spoke directly to you, so that you know that you know that you know that God's spoken to you about something. That's going to keep you. It's going to keep you refreshed. It's going to keep you going. It's going to protect that truth, protect that destiny, and until such a time as he performs it in our lives. Lovely jubbly. So, the big finale. Remember these points. God calls it as he sees it. Love that. When he speaks to you, he speaks his truth over you, and he builds you up with his words before he tells you his will. So build you up. His power surging through you, getting all excited about who you are in God, and he speaks to you of your destiny, and you're like, yeah, rather than, what? Yeah?
Yeah.
Think about it. Mary was built up. She still questions a little bit, which I think is fair enough because she was going to be pregnant as a virgin. But he was building her up. He was speaking that destiny over her so that when he spoke to her about his will, God's will for her life, she was ready for it. And she was like, let's do it. Your will be done. Obedience and courage will ensure that God's destiny for your life is fulfilled. You know, I can't even imagine how scary that decision would have been for Mary. I mean, you read the scripture, it's like a few verses, and she's like, yep, let's do this. I think it would have been a lot longer for me. I would have had more questions, more concerns. I think I would have really like homed in on that stoning thing. And just, you know, really, God? You sure? But it's going to ensure that your destiny for your life, the stuff that God wants you personally to do, is done if you're obedient and you show courage, that faith. Number three, check out what God is telling you. Whether that be with your leaders, always a good plan. Mm-hmm. If he's speaking to you something very directional, keep those things, check them out. Number four, rejoice and celebrate what God is doing. Such a key thing. You really got to celebrate it. When God's speaking to you about something big, celebrate that choice, celebrate that decision. It seals it in your heart, keeps it in there. And finally, keep and ponder what God is telling you about your destiny and your future. Very cool. So I don't know if I'd call this homework or a suggestion. It could be homework. Don't be afraid to revisit the stuff that you think you know really well. You know, God spoke to me so much through Mary, through her story. It was ridiculous. You know, the Christmas story, I thought I knew it really, really well. I didn't at all. There are scriptures and things, there are chapters. You know, you could probably recite them in 5 different versions. If you're Steve, 10. You know, you can recite these things. You know these scriptures. You know them inside and out. Maybe you know someone's story from the Bible, someone's account of their life, and you think you know it really, really well. But maybe God's challenging us today to be like, actually, there's a bit more going on there. There's some more layers I want to pull out of this story, this person's life for you. And so why not revisit the Christmas story in the middle of July?
Yeah, cool.
Thank you.
Excellent. Awesome.